The subject that we're going to cover today, well, the piece of Gemara that we're going to cover today is on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and it's the last six or seven lines of the Omid. And I'll do those lines inside, and those are the lines that we're going to learn. Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and the few lines from the bottom, going on to the whole question of Yotzo Chinom Elu Yemei Bagrus and Kesef Elu Yemei Narus. We learn Bagrus and Narus. Why do we need them both? And that whole piece of Gemara. So that's the platform that we're going to use. But what we're going to really deal with is the relationship of an adult to an adolescent. That's what the sugya is really about. What is an adolescent? What happens? What changes? What's it all about? That's really what the sugya is about, and that's what we're going to try and extrapolate from the complexity of these few lines of Gemara. So let's try working with it. So at the two dots, I'm not going to learn through the whole Gemara for shortage of time. So I'm going to assume that you're familiar with this piece of Gemara. The Gemara started off at the two dots saying Gufa v'yotzo chinom elu yimei bagrus en kesef elu yimei narus. We've already learned in a brisa that v'yotzo, that there's something else we learn out of this pasuk. V'yotzo chinom teaches us that there is no payment to be made when she's a boigeris. So a boigeris is 12 and a half. If she's a boigeris, there's no payment to be made. En kosef elyum enarus. And En Kosef tells you that if she's a naro, there's no payment to be made when she leaves the odun, but there is payment to be made when she leaves her father. So the Gemara deals with the obvious question. Just if you look at it chronologically, what do you need anything about bagrus? A young girl can only be sold when she's a katana. She has to be under 12 when she's sold. When she hits 12, she has to go free. She can't be a bagrus before she's 12 and a half. If you know that she goes free at 12, how could you? Why do you possibly need a posuk to tell you that she goes free at 12 and a half? She can't possibly be an amo at 12 and a half. That's what the Gemara deals with. It goes backwards and forwards a little bit and comes out at the end and says, Elo Omar Abaye. So this is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom, at the end of the line. Elo Omar Abaye. So the Gemara has gone through the various pros and cons, and Abaye says, Lo Nitzricho. The reason you need a posuk for bagrus in addition to narus is Elo Lebeger de Elunis. We need it for the case of a beger de Elunis. An Elunis is a girl who gets to the age of 20 and has not gone through puberty. So now the question is, what is, by the age of 20, you can assume she's an adult, but at what point did she become an adult? So that's the whole issue in Yevomis about determining what the status of an Elunis is and how we treat her, how we regard her, and so on. But what we need over here is to know is that a beger de Elunis, and a beger de Elunis is a 20-year-old girl who shows the signs of bagrus, although she never showed the signs of narus. The only sign of narus is 2 pubic hairs. That's simone narus. Bagrus, there are all sorts of other signs of maturation. And if at 20 she shows all the other signs of maturation, but she hasn't ever had the shtei saros, then she's an Elunis. Salka daita chamina, I might have thought, benarus tepuk, bevagrus loy tepuk. I might have thought that if she's a naro, she goes out free. But if she's a bagiris, she doesn't. Kamash malan, it comes to teach us that even if she's a bagiris, she does. So what's the case? What's the case of a bagiris going out free? Would you say, how did you understand that? How is she a bagiris? If you can only sell her when she's a katana, how is she a bagiris? What is a chayach that she goes out free when she's a bagiris?
16.
She could be 16.
She could be sold, so
she's sold, so we're considering her katana. We're considering her all the time, up till then, a katana. So we'll say, like I think the Ravid wants to learn that way, doesn't it? You'll sell her later on, and she'll become a declared Elunis at age 20. And she won't have worked a full 6 years yet, and that would be the case.
Ziyot Zachinam,
club is only tolerating naros that she can show shtei saros.
Oh, so that's what we've got to have, that's what we've got to have a look at. It is this shonim or is this naros? What is this? What is this really all about? What is what is what has changed, and what has that got to do with her going out?
If it's
Tolerating
shonim, you can't sell her at
16. Then she's a naro. Then she's not a ktano anymore. Yeah, then you would have to say. So what is she? She's not a ktano. She's not a naro. What is she?
You may not know.
She's an islandis lamafreya. She'll be an islandis. Back to what? Back to the time she was 12 and a half, or back to the time she had some sin? So all of that is part of the discussion. But if we just try and understand it in its simplest form, says Abaye, you need a posuk to tell you a beggar de ilonis. Why do I need a posuk? Salke daita chamine benaris tepe varus le tepe kamash melan. It comes to teach you that by bagrus she goes out as well. And we'll still go a little deeper into it. Maskiflo Marbar Avashi. So Marbar Avashi asks a question and says, Velav Kalvachomer, who I don't need a posuk to tell me that a begeris the islandis goes out. It's a Kalvachomer. Uma simonim she'in mitziyim mirushus av. Simonim, meaning simone narus, the two pubic hairs, the shtei saris, doesn't take her out from rishus av, even after she's a naro that av still has control over, still has authority. Nevertheless, mutzi and mirushus odin, those simonim are enough to take her out of the authority of the odin. Bagrus, shemutziya mirushus av, bagrus, which takes her out even from the rishus of a father, which is a stronger rishus, en odin shemutziya mirushus odin, clearly bagrus will take her out of odin. So you need to cover chomer, you don't need a posuk for that. Elo omar marber avashi, lo nitzrecho elo leikar zvina de ilonis. Rabashi says the most strange thing. So he says, yeah, I know that Bagrus to Islandis, she can come out. That we know from Kavachoyim. That's obvious. What I don't know is that you can even sell her. And we're showing him going to the question, if when you sell her, she's a Ktana, how you don't even know if she's going to be an Islandis or not yet. So we'll figure it out. So he says, you work it out retrospectively. But says Rabashi, that's the problem. Was it a valid sale? If she turns out to be an Islandis, was that a valid sale? Why not? Salka that chamina de asis simone naris havizvina de lo asis simone naris le havizvina. I might have thought that if she is a girl who is ultimately going to show simone naris, the sale is valid. But if she's a girl who will never become a naro, the sale isn't valid because the posuk doesn't apply to her. The whole sugya doesn't apply to her. Kamash melan, it comes to teach us that simone bagrus works as well. So pause there.
Well, it's very clear when you read the psukim that the intent is it's sort of like a, I don't really want to call it subversive, but it's sort of like a toe in on how to get a daughter married.
Yeah, it's a very, very temporary very, thing. It's a very temporary thing. It's meant for certain reasons. Isn't meant that she should sit there for years and years, as the Ritva says, and that the idea is that and if she's going to be somebody who's not going to be able to go through that process, the parasha doesn't apply to her. The parasha clearly applies to somebody who will become an ira. That's the being who the whole parasha applies to. If this is a girl who, it turns out, is a different type of species, she's a girl who's never going to become a naro, then the parasha doesn't apply to her. Very difficult, this Marbar Avashi, because Marbar Avashi has just learnt b'kal v'chomer that the simonim of Bagrus work to take her out. So we know she gets out. If we know she gets out, she must have got in. So it's a little bit, we're going to have to work a little bit with Marbar Avashi. What's he thinking here and what's he doing? But the real thing that we're going to spend this evening on is going to be to work out that a girl goes out of being an Amma with Simone Narus, we know from the Torah. We don't fully know why. So we'll try and have to see whether we can get any kind of insight as to what the intent of the Torah is. That a girl goes out Bevagrus, we now also know. We've worked that out from a kal vachomer, that she goes out bevagrus, and we've learned out that even though she never becomes an Irish, she can be sold in because of v'yotzachino. So we know that a bagiris is treated the same as an Irish, in that sense. What we want to look at is, are there two different categories of yitzir? There are two different parashas, so to say, two different sets of halacha. There's a girl who goes into slavery, to become an amo, and then she can come out, A, because of simone narus, B, a completely different thing, simone bagrus, different halachas. They're very different. Or is Simone Bagrus an extension of Simone Naris? That might not seem as if there's a big nafkemina, but let's reason it out a little bit further and say, if it's an extension of Simone Naris, what does it mean? Coming back to Pesach's question, is it an inyan of chronological time, or is it an inyan of anatomical change? What causes the yitzia? Is it her aging chronologically, or is it her going through physiological change? So if it's about aging chronologically, then Narus is one change, Bagrus is another change. The Torah says there are two separate periods. A girl can be a Ketana, she can be a Nara, she can be a Bagiris. Those are three different periods. And therefore Bagiris would be a completely different parsha from the parsha of Nara, because Bagiris is a different kind of a girl. But if we say it's about biological change, then there are two kinds of biological change. There are two subsets of biological change. There's the subset of Nara, which is one form of adolescence, and there's another form of biological change, the Simone Bagrus that an islandist can get. It's a little bit later, but it's also physiological change. In which case, they would be two different sets, subsets of a larger set called biological change. So that's really what we've got to look at. When we say, is this about time, is this about her age, or is this about her features, the question goes deeper than that. If it's about her age, then Bagrus and Narus are two completely different sets of halacha. If it's about her features, they're the same set of halachas. They're just different manifestations of the changed features, is what we're going to need to have a look at. And the person who's done the most amazing work on this idea is Reb Leib Malin. And we're going to learn a little bit of Reb Leib Malin inside. Reb Leib Malin was a Talmid of the Briska Rov. He's one of the great Talmidim of the Briska Rov in Brisk, and came to the United States and was the Rosh Hashiva in Beis HaTalmud, died in the 60s, I guess, maybe 50s, early 60s, late 50s. Reb Leib Malin. And I remember Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael once telling me, If you get out of learning, and you need to really get a thrill again, otherwise, because you've lost motivation, then there are two sforim to use: either the Briska Rov, because you can take a piece of Briska Rov and it is deceptively simple. It isn't simple at all. But if you're not into it, you can kind of think it throws light on it. Even if you're not into it, it just throws light. If you are into it, then it just opens massive passageways. But even if you aren't into it, it just turns the light on, and it's very exciting. And he said the other one was Reb Leib Malin. Reb Leib Malin's not easy, but it's just when you've done a piece of Reb Leib Malin, you just think to yourself, wow, just everything changes. And you'll see an example of this. And from this piece of Reb Leib Malin, we're going to get much deeper insight into what an adolescent is. That's really what we're going to have a look at. So let's have a look and see how it goes. So Reb Leib Malin works with the fact that there is a reflection, there's an echo of this Kal Vachomer further on in the Masechta. What's the Kal Vachomer of Mar Rav Ashi here? Simonim does not take her out from the father, but does take her out from the Odin. Kal Vachomer, Bagrus, that does take her out from the father, should definitely take her out from the Odin. That's the Kal Vachomer. The echo is on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Have a look. Tezayin Amud Aleph. Tezayin Amud Aleph, and it's about 14 lines from the bottom. There's a two dots with an Omar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish wants to try and learn. The Gemara doesn't accept it eventually, but the Gemara wants to try and learn. Oma ha'ivriya koina es atzmo b'misas ha'av mirushus odu. Interesting chiddush Resh Lakish has. If a girl is sold, age 10, and at age 10 and a half, her father dies, she goes free, says Resh Lakish. Why? Mikal v'chomer. Uma simonim she'ein mutziin mirushus av. Metziyin mirushus odoin. Simonim, which are not strong enough to take her out of the rushus, are out. Do take her out from the rushus odoin. Miso shemetziyo mirushus av. Eino din shemetziyo mirushus odoin. When the father dies, he loses control over her. So kol shechein, the odoin should lose control over her. Now the father doesn't only lose control because he's dead. His estate also doesn't have control over her. The sons don't get control over her. That authority ceases to exist when the father pulls out. And the father gave the authority over to the owner, to the odin, and he can only give as much authority he's got. He's only got authority for as long as he lives. When he ceases to live, it's as if that ongoing authority was never transferred to start with. And that's a kal vachomer from Simonim. Do you see the echo? Same kind of kal vachomer, based on Simonim. Simonim are not strong enough to take him out from the father, but are strong enough to take him out from the, to take her out from the odin. Mrs. Av, which takes her out from the Av, certainly will take her out from the odin. Same as Bagheris. Same kind of kavachomer.
The kavachomer here, in Dalit, is both change to her.
Yeah, and Tosfos makes that point. And Tosfos makes the point. So we're not going to get into it. Tosfos wants to compare and say these the kavachomers are different, and so on, and he deals with it. But that's not the main point. I'm relating to the echo because of what happens on the next omelet. On the next omelet, Tezayin with Beis, there's a piece of Gemara right in the middle of the omelet. Massive Rav Amram. There's a little bays, a Rambam's little bays, right in the middle of the Omid, a little bit higher than the middle of the Omid. Can you see that? Massive Rav Amram. You got that? Massive Rav Amram. Rav Amram asked a question. The Elu Ma'anikim Lohem. These are the Avodim for whom you have to give Ha'anokah. You've got to pay them off. You've got to give them a bonus, a severance pay. Hayotze b'shonim, if person's 6 years are up, uva yovel, or the yovel came even in the middle of the 6 years, uva misas ha'odoin, and if the odoin dies, the slave goes out free, uva ama ha'ivriya b'simonim, and if an ama ivriya got simonim, she goes out free. All of those cases, there's ha'anokah. So the Braisa here lists the cases of ha'anokah. V'im Isa, and if Reish Lakish is right, that Misas Ha'av also takes her out of Avdus, okay, that if her own father dies, she also goes out from being an Amo, Nisninami Misas Av, why doesn't it mention Misas Av? Asks the Gemara. And the Gemara goes on. Just let's focus on the Kasha. So the Gemara wants to say there are four cases listed of where Hanukkah applies. Misas Ha'av is not one of them. And therefore, Rav Amram wants to say, therefore, Mrs. Av does not liberate the girl. If Mrs. Av liberated the girl, it would be reckoned there. Asks Reb Leib Malin, and what about our case? What about a Bagheris? Why doesn't it say Velisni Bagheris, a Bagheris as well? After all, Marab Rav Ashi wants to learn that with the same Kal Vachomer. Why not say the same thing? Bagheris, the island is, say that also. But say, Shchichi, maybe you can say, not that the others are particularly Shchichi, but why isn't that listed as well as one of them? So this triggers his thinking that a Bagheris is not a separate category, but she's included in Amo HaYotzo B'Simonim. This is what triggers that line of thinking for him. That if Bagheris was a separate category, it would have been listed here. Now let's take that reasoning further the way we started. And what does it mean if it's not a separate category? Then it's part of Simonim. If it's part of Simonim, then is it chronology or physiology? It's physiology. That's the Chiddush. So this triggers his thinking to say that that what frees the girl from the Odin is her physiology, not her chronology. Okay, and that's going to be very important for us. So I'm going to suggest we learn the Rebbe Malin inside, just to have a bit of fun and get used to the way an Achron thinks. So it's on two sides. The photostat is on two sides. And Simon Lamed Aleph, and it's if hay that we're going to be working with. So if you can see the little hay, bottom left-hand corner, that's the piece that we start with. Yeah, it starts with Daf Tezayin. So he brings this piece of Gemara that we've just had a look at. This is what triggers his thinking. B'daf Tezayin Mativ Rav Amron Ve'elu Ma'anikiloyim Ve'ama Evriya B'simonim V'imisa Nistinami Misas Ha'av Tiyuvta D'Resh Lokish. That's a very big kasha on Resh Lokish. Okay, you with us? So that's the Gemara we've just seen. The kasha that the Gemara asks on Daf Tezayin with Beis. V'hine Yesh L'Ha'ir Says Reb Leib Malin. We've just learned in our Gemara that there's another category. There's Yetzias Naro B'Simonim, and we've just been Mechadish that there's a new category called Yetzias Bagrus D'Ailonis. There's another way a girl can get out. She can be 18 years old or 20 years old before she gets out. It's very similar to Resh Lakish's Kalvachomer. And Resh Lakish's Kalvachomer turns out to be a Yetzio Bifnei Atzmo. The Gemara wants to say it should be recorded separately. Why doesn't it mention it? And why does nobody ask the question? Why is everybody quiet about it? Asks the Rebbe Leibman. And even if we learn from the Posuk of a Yotzachinam, it's another Yitzia. If we pratch lefi maskonos ha-gemora le'el mashma daf dalet, which is our Gemara, mashma di alfinan mikal v'chomer. And especially since we see you learn it, the way we come out is, how do you know that a Bergeris islandist goes out? That's from kal v'chomer. That's not what the Posuk tells you. V'yotzachinam tells you she goes in. But that she comes out, we learn from a kal v'chomer. V'akro kosi legadus haliku zvina da islandist yochel le'mechro. The Posuk tells you that you can sell it.
It's shy to say that if you read the Gemara on that design of the race, that all of the cases that are mentioned there seem to be exceptions to the normal Shonen Simon Nairus to an earlier status. I mean, the kasha that Rabbi Ben Malan is asking is, you have this case that's later, but that's not Mestaber, because the Gemara seems to be coming on and saying, normally it's Simon and Aris or Shonen, whatever the case may be, but we have these exceptions, so it could actually happen earlier. This Kasha is going on something that happens later, so it doesn't really fall thematically to what the Gemara is trying to establish.
Yeah, you're right. There's only one thing I would caution you when you're learning an Achron of the stature of Reb Leib Malan. Don't try and answer too quickly. Right, because he struggled on this for days and days and weeks and months, before he thought it through and wrote it down. If the answer was easy, it wouldn't be here. So that's the first thing. That's how one also learns anova that way. You know, sometimes you look and say, it's quite simple. It's quite there. It's quite, this is what it is. And you've got to actually hold yourself back and say, it's clearly not that. It's like Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, when Rabbi Kivaiger leaves the Tzorich Iyun, don't try and answer it. When Rabbi Kivaiger leaves the Tzorich Iyun, it means there is no answer. It's not that there's an answer, he just couldn't think of it. But you can think of it. You know, 19-year-old yeshiva bocher, you can figure it out. If Rabbi Kivaiger believes that it's tzorichi, it means there is no answer, and there's something we're missing in the whole learning. In other words, if you have his question, there is no answer. What Rabbi Kivaiger means is you've got to learn the Gemara in such a way that this isn't a question. But if you're trying to answer the question, you're not going to answer it. And so it is with the Gedolei, Achrayim. One has to learn them with a tremendous amount of anova and understand how much omel haturo they put in to the questions and to the answers, and really to try and be to be mashpil oneself, to actually to be mekabel. Otherwise one doesn't get it. It's very, very hard, very, very difficult to do that. Reb Shimon Shkop has a wonderful hakdoma to Sefer HaYoshua, where he talks about the importance of accepting before you learn a sefer that the sefer, the gadlus of the sefer. And he brings, I think, the Vilna Gaon at the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. He says it's important to say it's Mishlei Asher L'Shloimeh, because you've got to know who wrote it. Because you've got to make a decision. Am I willing to invest toil in understanding or not? So that depends who the Mechaber is.
Does that mean Dhamma to the Sefer?
Yeah.
Just before you read my sefer, this is all I want you to think about.
Yeah, don't write it. If you want to just write off what I'm saying, don't bother reading it.
Right. Okay.
If you understand how much thought I've put into it and you want to, then put as much thought into it as well, and then learn it. So with these, one can answer, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that. If he's coming, then this isn't the end of it. All this is a he'ora that maybe. But an island is the island is a different category, is not a different category. Maybe it's not a different category. How would that work? So let's go into the next piece. We need to analyze the case of Yetzia de Simonim. Im hachalos shel narus hu hamotzi, o hasimonim hem hamotzi. What is it that pulls her out of being an ama? What is it that terminates her tenure as an amma? Is it her chronological age, her narus, because the pashtus narus is defined by age, or is it the simone narus? There are two different things that make a girl a naru. There's her age, the age of 12, reaching the age of 12, and there's simone narus. Which is the one that triggers her freedom? The simonim or the age? And it seems that one can resolve this question using the shita of Tosfos in Yevamos. The chaloi shel narus einu chal rak b'shisha chodoshim hasmuchim liyud beishonim. Tosfos in Yevamos lays a yesod that a naro can only become a naro between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. Doesn't help, she gets simonim later, she gets simonim later. Between 12 and 12 and a half, that's when you're an ara. That's what Tosfos says. Aval kashemevio simonim la'acha mikan, harehi bugeres v'loi naro. If she brings her simonim at age 13, she skipped narus. So narus is not an inevitable stage of chronological development. It's a normal stage of chronological development, but not an inevitable one. A girl could easily skip narus,
go from
katana to bogeres. If her puberty is delayed by 6 months, she skips narus, and she becomes a bogeres. That's what Tosfos says in Yevamos.
An early onset.
And early, then she would be a naro at 12 to 12 and a half. The pashtus. The way we would do it in Aloch is she's got her simonim already, so when she's 12, she's a naira for 6 months. There are days that she starts earlier, but at least she certainly has her 6 months of nairas. And the way we would take it is from 12 and 12 and a half, she doesn't have to get her simonim on her 12th birthday. What's important is that she's got her simonim before she's 12 and a half, then she's a naira until she's 12 and a half. But once she's 12 and a half and over, she cannot be a naira.
But then, in terms of Yetzia,
Oh, depends whether the simonim caused the yitzia or the age causes the yitzia. That's part of what we're looking at.
So that if she shows simonim naros before 12, she goes out.
Yes, they are. But those shittas will hold that she's a naro at that point.
Right.
What he's trying to do is to pull them apart and say, what happens if she's a naro without? Can she be a naro without simonim? Can she have simonim without naros? So Tosfos says the concept of narus is defined by age. Or that not only by age, but age is one of the definitions. She has to be between 12 and 12 and a half to become a naira.
Is there a yitzia after 6 years, whether she's a naira, bulgaris, or whatever, if she sold into slavery at age 3? Isn't there something about 6 years serving?
Yes.
So then she's not stuck there till 12. She could leave at 9 if she's done 6 years.
In the case of a katana who sold less than...
You can only be sold at age 6?
Less than 6 years old. I don't know what the din would be. She would get out after 6 o'clock.
Can you only be sold into slavery at age 6?
She can be sold, but nobody stays longer than 6. That's the whole kasha over here. How can a 20-year-old go out? Because when was she sold? If she was only sold when she was a katana.
Right.
So you have to say she was sold later.
There is 6 years of yitzia.
Yeah.
Can you say further than what you're saying by the fact that if she has the same simonim that would have caused her to be a naira had she been 12, when she's 14, therefore they're not simonim naras anymore because they're the same simonim and the simonim bagros. But the only thing in the naras is the age.
No, they're not the same. Simonim bagros are different.
No, but by the fact that if you had those simonim at 14, you become a bogeres.
Right. According to Tosfos, so he's just working. Correct. So he's working with it. So there's just a condition that if there are no simonim, then the time doesn't help. So you don't become a Naira if there were no simonim. But you don't become a Naira later. You can't delay Narus. You've either got the simonim at 12, in which case you're a Naira at 12, or you miss Narus.
And those simonim become simonim bagra.
And those simonim, so now what the question is, what do they become? They're not really simonim bagra. Simonim bagra is at 20 years old when you've had various other signs of maturation, and you're 20 years old, then you're a bagaris, Dalinis. So let's see. Ve'im kein. My kashilu. So what is the kashu of the Gemara? How does the Gemara ask? How can it be that she goes out bevagrus? And the Gemara says we need a posuk for it. Omar Abayla, Nitzuchel al Abega de Ailanis, is what Abaya started of saying. How are we troubled by that? Halo mishkachas lo poshut. We should have a simple case. Kishivia simonim la'acha yud beishonim. If she got simonim at age 13. So she skipped Narus altogether and she became a Bugeris at 13. And now the question would be, does the Simonim take her out? She's not a Naro, so what should take her out? I need a Pasuk to tell me the Simonim take her out. That's clear. So it's clear from the fact that the Gemara doesn't see that as such a simple thing. That for a girl to go out of Amo, being an Amo, with Simonim, it has nothing to do with Narus. It's a different din. It's just biological, just physiological. Nothing to do with Narus. Verakim yesh lo Simonim Narus, ha Simonim atzmon, af beloi chalois Narus, mutsi yinoiso. It's the Simonim that take her out, whether or not she's a Naru. It's not that the simonim make her into a Naira and Naira gets her out. No, she could have simonim and not be a Naira, and she would get out. And because it's the simonim that gets her out, not the being a Naira. V'hod eino Naira ki im b'shisha chodoshim asmuchim liyudbeiz, ein zech yisorin lebeiz ba'asimonim. And the fact that she has one window of Nairus between 12 and 12 and a half, that has nothing to do with the simonim. The mitzad ha-simonim hiru yilius Naira. From a simonim point of view, she can be a Naira anytime. It's just that to be called a Naira, to be classified halachically as a Naira, you have to be between 12 and 12 and a half. That's to be classified as a Naira. But it's not Naira classification that takes you out. There are two different concepts, says Rabbi Leah. There's Simone Narus and there's Narus. Simone Narus does two things. Simone Narus at the right time makes you a Naira. Simone Narus has a separate thing altogether, gets you out of being an Amo. Because it's a Simon Naros, not because you become a Naro. It's a Simon Naros.
So she's still a Ktana, though.
So she could be still a Ktana.
So she's under
and she suddenly becomes a Bagheris.
No, but if she's under 12 and she shows Simon Naros.
Oh, at that time.
She's no longer an Amo, and she's back under her father's rishos, because she's still a Ktana.
Because she would be a Ktana, but the Simonim can be Moitzi, if she, in the case of under 12.
Maybe it's Shuma, before 12, it's Saras and not even Shuma.
Because we wouldn't even call it Simone Naris. Until it's 12, it's not Simone Naris. Until it's 12, we can assume there might be all sorts of other causes for those Simonim, but Simone Naris needs to be 12. So if she has Simonim at 12, it makes between 12 and 12 and a half, the Simonim make her a Naira. But the Simonim do something else as well. From 12 and onwards, they take her out of Avdus. They take her out of an Amma. Without going through the Naira route.
So even if she skips...
She skips Narus completely. She skips Narus completely. Bekivan de Simone Narus hem gam l'achamikan bishumachi yotze b'simonim avsheinu Naro ki im bagrus v'afilu b'loy krod bagrus havi yotzia. And therefore, since Simone Narus can happen after 12 and a half, and she goes out b'simonim avsheinu Naro ki im bagrus, even if she's not a Naro, she's a bagiris, afilu b'loy krod bagrus havi yotzia. I would know in any case that she gets out because she's got Simone Naris. And the Simone Naris is all that you need. It's not that she's called, it doesn't go out because she's a Bulgarian. She goes out because she's got Simone Naris. If she got the Simone Naris later, it doesn't make any difference. So that you see from the Gemara's understanding of the Psukim that this is about the Simonim, it's not about the time. Now just before we do the last piece, let's just understand what that means. Because this gives us a bit of an idea of what the Torah's insight might be, to whatever degree we can try and understand it. If it was a chronological thing, then we would say that there's a halacha, there's a din that a girl reaches 12, she's sold as a ketana, when she reaches it, but there's a limit, there's a term limit on the sale. And the term limit is defined by time, her age, the age of 12, just as there's a term limit of 6 years, there's also a term limit of becoming a 12-year-old. So the Torah imposes certain term limits on the contract, it would be a contractual thing. But if it's totally on simonim, it's not about term limit, because you don't even know how long the time is. It's got nothing to do with time. What has it got to do with? It's got to do with physiological change. So, thinking to myself, what is the connection between the physiological change and her freedom? I understand that there can be a term limit, because we have precedents for that. We've got an idea that he can't work for more than six years. If he can't work for more than 6 years, we understand the principle that a contract of sale has a term limit, and a 12-year-old is part of the term limit. Understand that. But Simone Nairus, what's that got to do with it? Why should she go out free when she hits puberty?
She's capable of having children.
Sorry?
Capable of having children.
Yeah, so that would be a kind of a physiological reason. And therefore what? She should get married. But if she says she doesn't, no plans of getting married, and it's like our generation where that's not the age of the day.
He has a right.
He has a right to what?
Yeah, the Alden has a right. He has a right. If he doesn't...
To marry him. But he's got to marry before Simone Nairus.
So if he
right.
He's got to be Miyada also before Simone Nairus. So what's the importance of Simone Nairus?
Maybe he's showing that he has no intention to marry her, so he should let her go so she can marry somebody else.
But why is that Simone Nairus? That should also be maybe at some, because you mean because she's marriageable at that point. She's technically marriageable. Maybe. Yeah, I think that's the route that I wanted to take. I wanted to say sorry. That there's a shinui haguf, that the person, an adolescent, is not a linear development from a sub-adolescent, whatever you want to call it, from a cotton, from free adolescent. It's not a linear process. It's a metamorphosis. This is a different bria. You bought a ketana. You know what? That ketana you bought is no more. That ketana doesn't exist anymore. Now you've got a naira. A naira is not an older ketana. A naira is not a ketana plus 6 months. A naira is a different kind of a bria. And you've got to, I say the word metamorphosis because you've got to think of it exactly like a metamorphosis.
So you think it's along the lines of Shina's Kaina?
You can't say that. No, it's not Shina's Kaina. It's not quite. It's along the lines of the ramifications of this go very far. It means that you bought a certain chefza, you bought a certain asset, and it's gone. It's just gone. Where did it go? It just went. There's somebody else standing in front of you. It's not the same definition. It's not the same chefza that you acquired. This is not it. This is something else. But what's important about this is what it means to a parent. What does that tell you about a parent? When our children become adolescents, we treat them as a little bit older than they used to be. You're still a kid, but you know what? Now you can have maybe a little bit more freedom, or you can have... You're not a kid. It's like treating a butterfly like an older worm. So, you know, you were a worm, and when you were a worm, I looked down on you, and when you were a worm, I felt sorry for you, and I was careful not to tramp on you. So now you're a butterfly, I'll still treat you the same way, just not quite the same way. No. A butterfly, you look up, and you admire, and you say, my goodness, look at this. And it's no shaykhus to the worm. You don't think of it as coming from a worm. It doesn't enter your mind. It's like a miracle when you learn that it comes from a worm. It's a miracle. The fact that a girl goes out just automatically like that with Simone Nairus, with the physiological change of puberty, is because this is not the person he acquired, and there's no connection anymore. This is a complete disruption in the developmental process, and that's why the educators tell us that when you if you make a mess of your little kids, as we usually do, you get a second chance. You can re-raise your adolescence. And almost all the mistakes you made in childhood, you can rectify in adolescence. Often we don't, because we just get so locked into the way we saw the kid as a child, so we carry on with the same old stuff. But if we just took ourselves out of it a little bit and said, there's a beria chadosha here, there's a ponim chadoshes bo'olikan. This is not the same beria, this is not the same being. This requires a whole new approach. Very different from what was. I can't just make any assumptions based on what was. Yes, this person comes from that childhood, just as a butterfly comes from a worm. But it doesn't mean it is a worm. The adolescent comes from the cotton. doesn't mean it's an older cotton. It's not at all an older cotton. So as I was learning through the sugya, I just realized what it is. When Rebbe Manin unfolds this and says that this is about simonim. This is not about age. This is not about evolution. This is not about the fact that she's a little older than she was. This is about something completely different. This is simonim iris. You look at this young lady and she's like a young lady. Yes, yeah, she's only 12. Doesn't matter. She's a young lady. She's not an 11-year-old plus one. She's a young lady. She's not a girl. Different kind of mitzvahs altogether. And I don't know where else we have that. It's, you know, have a little bit, maybe a person, a girl, a woman gets married. We talked about the change of status that goes over there. Geirus, we have it. This is your whole connection to family by geirus. We have a few cases like that where there's a transition which is not continuous. It's disruptive. It's a disruptive continuation. What else?
Bagrus and bagirus.
Bagrus and Keshus, yeah. Interesting. So now let's do the last piece, and then we'll see how beautifully do we have time. We've got to dive in Mari Bridge. Can we get another 5 or 10 minutes? Are we going to dive in here? Are we going to dive in our souls here?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just finish it off. I'm sorry we started late. I'm going to do it in the Gemara itself. You can work on the Rebbe Malin outside. Let me do it in the Gemara with you and tell you how he learns it then. So what comes out in that case, he says, is if you learn Bagrus from a Kalvachomer. Brech Dalad Amad Aleph. Back on Dalad Amad Aleph. Sorry, back on Dalad Amad Aleph. So there are two possible places you can learn Bagrus de Ailanis. The one is from Veyotzo Chinom, and the one is from a Kalvachomer. So the Gemara wants to start to say if we learn it from Veyotzo Chinom. Says the Gemara, no, it says, Marab Ravashi, you don't need the Pasuk, you can learn it from a Kalvachomer. So what is. What's the difference? Explains Rabbi Malin. If you learn it from a Kalvachomer, this is a new halacha. It's a new section. There's Nairus and there's Bagrus. Nairus we learn from Vyotzachinon, and Bagrus we learn from a Kalvachomer, and it's as separate as Misas Ha'av is on Daf Tezayin. Also learned from a Kalvachomer. So if you go the Kalvachomer route, then you come out with a new set of halachas, and then it's got to do with chronological age, not with simonim. Because this is, Marus is 12, and Bagrus is 12 and a half. And they're two different things altogether. But if you learn it from Vyotso Chinom, what you're learning is that there's a din of simonim, physiological change. There are different kinds of physiological change. Normally, there's Nairus first and Bagrus later on. And Bagrus is not relevant because Nairus has already taken her out. But you can have a situation where she skips Nairus and the first physiological change she has is Bagrus. Who cares what it is? It's the physiological change that takes her out of Katniss. That's what's important. Doesn't matter what it's taking her into. She's no longer the person she was. That's what's important. Who cares whether she becomes a Naira or she becomes a Begeris? It's all learned from Vyotzo Chinom. So in that case, the way he comes out is very interesting. He comes out, Marab Ravashi says, I don't need a posuk. I can learn it from a Kalvachomer. If I learn it from a Kalvachomer, though, it would come out that Bogeris is a completely different category and would be like Mrs. Saav, a different set of halachas. However, what do I learn from the posuk? I learn from the posuk that you can sell her in the first place. Now, what's the logic behind that? Because I might have thought you can't sell her in the first place. Why could you not sell her in the first place? Because I would have thought you can't sell her in the first place, not just because she won't become a Naira, because we've just learned from the Posu, from Kavachomer, that if she becomes a Begeris, it's just as good. What I would have worried about is that if she wouldn't have had Simone Nairus, I would have thought it has to be Simone Nairus. The Posu comes to tell me, no, it doesn't have to be Simone Nairus, it has to be Simonim. It has to be physiological change. That's what the Posu teaches me. Now that I've got that, I don't need the Kalvachomer. It's not as if we're learning from the Kalvachomer. At the end of the day, all he's saying is so there's steps. If you start, you say, the Posuk teaches me Bagrus. Says, Marab Ravashi, I don't need a Posuk. I can learn that Kalvachomer. So what does the Posuk teach me? The Posuk teaches me something deeper than that. It teaches me that the reason you can sell her is because what you need in a young girl that you sell is the fact that she will get simonim of one sort or another. Now that I know that, I know Simone, I know Bogeris as well. I don't need the Kalvachomer. So you're right that he says that there is an echo on Daf Tezayin of a similar Kalvachomer, except here we don't use that Kalvachomer in the end. We start off trying to use that Kalvachomer, but we don't need it in the end. If we did use the Kalvachomer, then Bogeris would be completely different, and we would have had to ask the question on Daf Tezayin as well. What about Yetzir de Bagrus? Why is that not mentioned? The reason we don't mention Yetzir the Bagrus is because Yetzir the Bagrus is not a new category. We learn from the Yotzer Chinom that Yetzir the Bagrus is Simonim. It's just a form of Simonim. If I'd learned it from a Kal Vachomer, it wouldn't be Simonim, it would be about age. And I would learn the Kal Vachomer. If Narus can work, Kol Shchein Bagrus can work. I would have learned it out the Kal Vachomer. Two different things. I learned this one from that one because of a Kal Vachomer. But if I'm learning it all out from the Yotzer Chinom, I don't need a Kal Vachomer. If I don't need a Kal Vachomer, it's one principle. Simone Bagrus and Simone Narus is the same Yesoid, and therefore the Gemara doesn't have to ask why isn't it mentioned separately. It's Nichlal, it's included in Simone Narus. So what's beautiful here, as you review the Gemara, what's beautiful is the way he unpacks these few lines of Gemara, how Marbar Avashi goes through, and the subtle difference between, you just look at it before and think, Kal Vachomer, you learn from a Pasuk, it's a big deal. No! Huge big difference. If you learn it from a Kal Vachomer, then this whole parish is about chronology. And it's one way of understanding the Torah. If you learn it as based on the Pasuk, it's about physiological change, about simonim. And it's another way of learning the Torah. And if you would learn it that it's about chronology, then I wouldn't have been able to extract the psychological, the educational chiddush that we did. If it's all about chronology, I would have to say, you know what, 12-and-a-half-year-old girl is a half a year older than a 12-year-old girl. And she's developed, and slowly she's becoming an adult, and slowly you'll modify your approach to her, and eventually she'll be an adult, and you'll take her to the chuppah, and it kind of works. It works analog, like an analog. And slowly it works. This is digital. One minute she's a tana, next minute she's a nara, different bria. That's what this piece of Gemara is about. It's not just a technical thing. Kal Vachomer is in the pasuk. It's about a world view of what a ketana and what the transition from katnus to narus is. And what's interesting is, and this is such a beautiful example, and we'll see them over and over and over in every sugya, that I've always said that the Torah is full of philosophy. That what's unique about the Torah is we don't extract halachas from philosophy. That you do in the secular world. You have a philosophy of law, and you say, man, if this is our philosophy of law, what are the laws? What should the laws be? We believe in freedom. We believe in the free market. We believe in whatever we've got in our constitution and what those things are. So now you'll go and you'll say, what are the outcomes of that? What are the laws? That's not how the Torah works. The Ribono Shel Olam didn't give us values at Sinai. There are no values in the Torah. It's all mitzvahs. It's all halachas. From the halachas, if you really go deeply into the halachas, you can figure out what the world view is, how the Torah looks at the world, how the Torah understands the world. We go from halacha to philosophy, not from philosophy to halacha. That's the difference. And that means we have access that way to emes. Because if I were to say to you, you know, there are two different schools of thought. One says you should treat an adolescent like a beria chadosha, and one says you should treat an adolescent like an evolving child who's growing older and goes through various stages of life. You'll say, fine, go, two shitters. But when you work it through like this and you actually see how the Torah understands it, how the Gemara is understanding it, it starts to mold the way you look at the world. It's not that they're two, somebody's theory, somebody's idea. That's how the Torah sees the world. And one begins to look at the world in a very specific way and to start using that, not only in terms of paskening the halachas that we're dealing with, but in paskening the halachas of life altogether. So, in this Hashem, next week we'll turn over the Omid and carry on from after the two dots. I won't do anything more until the two dots, but we'll carry on next week in this Hashem right after the two dots at the next top of the next page, and I will do my best to send you some direction before that year.